This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Hello, you're listening to Answers UK Radio. My name's Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And on today's programme, we're going to be looking at a number of things. We're going to be looking at the dinosaur exhibitions that are being put on around the UK by the BBC under the title Walking with Dinosaurs. Remember the television series Walking with Dinosaurs a few years ago? Even some evolutionists criticised the series for saying that it produced myths about dinosaurs. It was a fascinating series, very well filmed. It was filmed as if it was a wildlife documentary with CGI dinosaurs prowling around the place and a commentary in the background about what the dinosaurs were doing, much in the same vein as the famous wildlife programmes of Sir David Attenborough as he travels around the world looking at real animals. Of course, he comes out with the evolutionary comment as well, but at least the animals are real and the activities that they're performing are real, whereas on Walking with Dinosaurs, everything was made up. So we'll be having a look at that dinosaur exhibition, talking about that. Well, I've not actually seen it yet. It's not in place at the moment, but we'll be talking about that dinosaur exhibition. And also, we're talking about a marvellous moment from the follow-up BBC series, Walking with Beasts, which really illustrates something I've been talking about for a while, about the use of language in evolution. I think it's fascinating to look at the sort of way that evolutionists use language to try and make their case. If you go to the Natural History Museum, the evidence for evolution there is not behind the glass in the cases. The evidence for evolution is in the language on the cards and the particular ways that language is used. And so we'll have a look at a marvellous clip, a very well-known clip from Walking with Beasts by the BBC, and looking at how language is used in that particular clip. And we'll also be talking about the atheist who is calling on the church to recognise de-baptism. He wants to get himself de-baptised from the Church of England. So we'll be talking about the some of the things that atheists are saying at the moment in the UK. And again, really talking about the superstition of atheists who really feel that they must go through some sort of de-baptism ceremony. So that's some of the things that we'll be talking about on Answers UK Radio. Stay tuned, won't you? I had an email the other day from a listener who said that the content of these podcasts is great, but was commenting that the introductory music is mixed too loud, so that when you're listening to the program on an iPod, MP3 player, that it can be deafening at the beginning, and then of course you've got to turn the volume up then to hear the words. Please forgive me for that. It's a new technology that we're playing with, and you'll have to excuse our inexperience in putting these things together. We will try and get that right, and I hope that the volume of the introductory music to this particular episode is at a better level. Do please give us your feedback, constructive feedback, and we will try and take things into consideration. We want to make this a really good podcast, a really important broadcast for people to be able to learn about the subject of Genesis, creation and evolution. So keep the comments coming in. If you want to send an email with some ideas for the program or comments on what's going on, please send your emails to radio@answersingenesis.org.uk. Please don't forget the .uk at the end, because this is a UK program. So the email address again is radio@answersingenesis.org.uk. One news item that caught my eye this week was to do with the Walking with Dinosaurs exhibition that the BBC are putting on at various places around the country. It's due to come to London's O2 Arena in August. It'll be in a smaller version in other parts of the United Kingdom in the months leading up to that. This is how the Daily Mirror put it. It was a jaw-dropping moment, they say, but this little chap, that's a small boy in the photograph in the Daily Mail, this little chap somehow managed to keep his nerve. After all, it wasn't as if this ferocious Tyrannosaurus rex could move, could it? Actually, it could. The T-Rex is among 15 creatures being brought to life in the Walking with Dinosaurs exhibition, named after the BBC series. Well, it looks very interesting, and there's been some videos on YouTube about when the exhibition's been elsewhere in the world. Most notably, I've found some YouTube videos of it in Australia, and it does look very exciting. But it's interesting because the entire premise of Walking with Dinosaurs causes a problem. The thing is, it was meant to be rather like the BBC's wildlife programs, the original television series that this display is based on, was meant to be like the BBC's wildlife series. The BBC is well known for its wildlife series, the sort of series presented most notably and most famously perhaps by the television naturalist Sir David Attenborough. Of course, those programs, such as Life on Earth and so on, are notoriously full of evolutionary propaganda, and we've commented on Attenborough's ideas on these podcasts and in articles on our websites many times. But at least you could see some marvellous photography, some marvellous film in all those series. Some people have said, wouldn't it be marvellous if you could simply turn the sound down and have a creationist commentary to go with the programs, and I often think that would be the case. When it comes to Walking with Dinosaurs, you've got dinosaurs moving around, doing all sorts of different things, and you've got a commentary talking about the story of what they're doing. So what you're actually seeing on the screen is not real life. It is, of course, CGI. It's all to do with computer graphics. And then the commentary then is placed, and really with the manners of these sort of animations, what you do is the commentary actually comes first in those cases, and then the CGI will have been done to match the commentary rather than the other way around. So actually, you're starting with a script, and it is a story that is being told. And nobody should pretend, therefore, that these programs are genuine, are real, and yet the impression is put across to the viewers that the programs are real. Well, the display, the theatrical display that the BBC have now produced that is going to be touring the country, is featuring obviously not CGI creations, but in this case animatronic dinosaurs. And I'm no doubt that they will look very interesting, very exciting. It's the evolutionary message and narration going with it that will cause the problems. Of course, one interesting side point I should mention here is that the exhibitions will be very expensive. According to the website, the exhibition will cost £30 per person. Now, I've got quite a large family. If I took all my family there, all seven of us, that's a total of £210, because it doesn't look like there's any reduction for children. You know, for a very small amount more, you could get far more interesting and better placed animatronic dinosaurs by getting on a plane at Gatwick Airport and flying over to Cincinnati and going to visit the Creation Museum at the American offices of our ministry. And I think that would be a far greater value than going to watch these evolutionary animatronic dinosaurs at the O2 Arena, but that's just my thought. But it'd be interesting perhaps to have a look at what the BBC say in these programs, just to revisit the idea again with these exhibitions coming up, and with this being the special anniversary year of Charles Darwin. It would be interesting to have a look and remind ourselves about what the BBC said about these dinosaurs. Here's a short clip from Walking with Dinosaurs.
A 7-ton male stegosaurus. He too is a herbivore, but very dangerous. The large plates on his back are primarily there for display. It is the meter-long spikes on his tail that make him so lethal. These he can wield with devastating effect, despite having a very small brain for his body size. The creche moves further down the canyon, away from the Stegosaurus. But two Allosaurus have also been drawn here by the smell of prey.
In this section, the small young herbivores are startled by the Allosaurus appearing, and they run away towards the Stegosaurus. One Allosaurus has caught up with one of the small dinosaurs and bitten its neck. At this point, one of the small herbivores approaches the Stegosaurus' tail, gets swiped and killed by it. The Allosaurus is facing off to the Stegosaurus.
The Stegosaurus flushes blood into his plates, creating a frightening display of colour.
It's an interesting idea, but of course, nobody has actually seen it happen. Coming up after the break, the misuse of language in Walking with Beasts and the atheist debaptism ceremonies. Stay tuned to Answers UK Radio. How do we know the Bible is true? How do we know the Bible is true is a beautifully presented set of four DVDs and workbook produced by Answers in Genesis featuring popular British theologian Brian Edwards.
I want to begin reading from Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name. I want to talk to you about our authentic Saviour.
With talks entitled The Authentic Christ, The Life of William Tyndale, Scripture Under Scrutiny, and Why 66, The Canon of Scripture, this collection will enhance your confidence in the Word of God, and is yours until the 30th of April for the reduced price of £30. Contact us in the Answers in Genesis offices. Welcome back. Still to come on Answers UK Radio, Walking with Beasts and Atheist Debaptism Ceremonies. You know, I have no objection to stories about dinosaurs. What the problem is that this particular program is being presented as if it were factual. And yet, it's clearly been made up, but everything is being presented because you're supposed to just accept what's being said. Now, that's the major problem that we've got at this point. Anyway, perhaps the whole issue of how the words are used in order to present what evolutionists want to put across as if it were fact is best illustrated by this next clip, which comes from the follow-up series to Walking with Dinosaurs, which is called Walking with Beasts. The idea of the Walking with Beasts series is it's looking at the supposed early evolution of mammals following the extinction of dinosaurs at an alleged 65 million years ago. And in the particular clip that we're looking at, we've been looking at pictures of Gastornis, a large bird, which, of course, the program claims is descended from the dinosaurs and is taking on the role of dinosaurs. And we're also looking at a creature called Propelotherium. Now, Propelotherium is similar to Hyracotherium, and that's got an interesting pedigree, of course, because Hyracotherium was named by Richard Owen. Richard Owen was the person who started up the and planned the Natural History Museum, which he did for the glory of God. And he likened the Hyracotherium fossils to a hare in one passage and to something between a hog and a hyrax in another. And now, according to evolutionists, Hyracotherium is supposed to be the earliest type of horse. And therefore, they prefer to use the name Eohippus. But because the earliest person to, the earlier name takes precedence in scientific naming conventions, they're actually stuck with the official name Hierakotherium. Now, Propellotherium, which is being looked at in this particular program, is presumably quite similar to Hierakotherium. Now, I have no problem with it being similar to Hierakotherium. What the problem I have is the idea that this is an ancestor of the horse. On the program, they show this small cat-like creature with its little feet, and it's pawing the ground much in the way that a horse does, even though it has three toes on its foot, not a hoof. So we're looking at this supposed evolutionary ancestor of the horse, which Richard Owen was quite certain in his mind was really related to the hyrax. So they've got these little creatures and you've got these large birds, and the narration on this program is by the actor Kenneth Branagh.
The Propellotherium appear less alert than usual. Throughout the afternoon, they have continued to eat the fermenting grapes off the ground. They contain only the smallest amount of alcohol, but it is enough to dull their usually sharp senses. This is a bad time to get careless.
This makes absolutely superb radio, doesn't it? Aren't you glad you're watching this video with me at the moment? What? You can't see it? Oh, well, what's happening at the moment is that this big bird, Gastornis, is chasing the little horses, and he's going to catch one of them and pick it up in his beak and shake it about, at which point we have the most wonderful quotes to finish this clip with from Kenneth Branagh, the official narration, and just wait till you hear it.
This is a world where birds eat horses.
Did I hear that right? Could you just give us that quote again, Mr. Branagh?
This is a world where birds eat horses.
What the BBC have done here is absolutely fascinating, isn't it? Remember, they've built up a story from scratch. They started with the narration, then they've built up the CGI animation to go with that story. They've made it look as if it's an actual wildlife documentary when it isn't, it is just a story. So they've got the fossil of the large bird and they've made it walk around and they've assumed that it eats meat. I don't have necessarily a problem with that, but they don't know for sure. They've got these little creatures, which Richard Owen and other scientists have thought is related to the hyrax, but which the conventional establishment evolutionary view says they're ancestors of modern horses. So they've got these little creatures running around, deliberately making them behave in the animation as if they're little horses. And you've got the bird that chases them. And you've got, in the story, in the animation, rather as if Tom has managed to catch Jerry in the cartoon, the bird has managed to catch the little horse, and therefore you've got the conclusion that this is a world where birds eat horses. Or, as Mr. Branagh put it,
this is a world where birds eat horses.
This is supposition built on supposition built on supposition. At no point are we watching anything remotely resembling scientific evidence. Instead, we've got a collection of things made up built on other things that are made up, in order to make a statement which is patently untrue, but which gives an image into people's minds as if they've been watching some scientific evidence. That's the way that evolution works. You see this time and time again. You go and visit the Natural History Museum, you'll see that the evolution is not behind the glass in the cases, the evolution is on the labels that you read on the front of the glass. It's to do with the language, it's to do with the way that things are made. I'm being a little bit unfair on the actor Kenneth Branagh. He's not responsible for this, he's reading a script. But it's the BBC that are responsible for it, and you'll get more of the same when you go and visit the dinosaur exhibition, the Walking with Dinosaur exhibition in the O2 Arena. And by the way, if you want to go and see the dinosaur exhibition, the animatronic dinosaurs in the O2 Arena, please take note that it will cost you £30 each. That's £30 each. You know, it wouldn't cost you very much more just to go to Gatwick Airport, hop on a plane, get to Cincinnati, and go and see some better animatronic dinosaurs at the Answers in Genesis Creation Museum in northern Kentucky. That's where you should be going, and that's where you'll learn the truth of how things worked. That's where you'll learn the truth that will enhance your confidence in Scripture, in what the Bible actually has to say. Now let's talk about atheist debaptism. Excuse me a moment, I'm just eating a banana, which just proves I'm evolving back into an ape. The news story, according to the BBC's website, is this. There's a gentleman here, well, let's use his name because the website does. He's called Mr. John Hunt. Well, he was baptized or christened in the Anglican parish church of St. Jude with St. Aidan in Thornton Heath in southeast London. 50 years later, he wants to be de-baptized. He says that he had no control over what happened, and he therefore doesn't. He wants his baptism to be cancelled. And the problem is that the local Anglican diocese, Southwark, has refused to amend the baptismal roll on the grounds that it was a historical record. You can't remove from the record something that actually happened, said the Bishop of Croydon, the Right Reverend Nick Baines. Whether we agree whether it should have happened or not is a different matter, he says, but it's a bit like trying to expunge Trotsky from the photos. Mr. Hunt was baptized, and that's a matter of public record. Well, you see, this does seem to be the case that makes sense here. The fact remains that there was a point in time when he was christened. Now, you know, whether or not that particular act has done anything for him is something that Christians will also discuss and debate. And there may be some Christians, I suppose I would number myself among them, who would take a different view in any case on baptism. Now, what you think about that particular event happening to a child is, in a sense, irrelevant to the issue. The point is that something happened. So really, the point that I want to concentrate on here is why atheists like Mr. Hunt and others, because apparently he's getting backing from the National Secular Society in his strange campaign to have history rewritten, what they're concerned about is almost, it seems to me, a sort of superstitious belief that something has been done to them that they need to undo. And you know, they would deny this, of course, because they deny any sort of superstition anyway. But for example, the ceremony, if you like, in inverted commas, that he put himself through, goes like this. He says, "I, John Geoffrey Hunt, having been subjected to the rite of Christian baptism in infancy, hereby publicly revoke any implications of that rite. I reject all its creeds and other such superstitions, in particular the perfidious belief that any baby needs to be cleansed of original sin." The question then has got to be asked, what is he afraid of? Why does it matter to him? Surely if he wants to be an atheist and doesn't like the fact that he was christened, all he needs to do is say, well, that meant nothing to me at the time, and I deny that. Why he has to go through all this rigmarole and attempts to rewrite history, I don't understand. We've all held different views at one point in the past. I'm I was saved at the age of about 16. Prior to that, I was not saved, and my life as a teenager is something that I don't want, therefore, to celebrate in that particular sense. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to go back and renounce it. Things that happened at that stage definitely happened. Why we need to unwrite them is really nonsense. It doesn't need to happen that way. What the real issue is here is absolutely nothing to do with any doctrine of baptism. What the real issue here is that atheists get so angry when they're confronted with Christianity, whatever that form might be. They get so angry when they're confronted in some ways with God. And so things that on the face of it would seem to be perfectly normal and perfectly understandable to atheists get built up. When I spoke to an atheist group in London some months ago, one chap at the end was very, very angry, accused me of believing things just as bad as trying to teach children about Father Christmas and that God's the same as Father Christmas and there's no different. And he was almost foaming at the mouth with his anger. And I had to just answer him by saying, "I really don't understand why you're angry. If you don't believe God exists, why does he make you so cross?" Well, there we go. God makes atheists very cross because they come face to face with him and they know that they're sinners and they don't like that thought. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast of Answers UK Radio. Don't forget that we have another podcast where you can download ministry talks that have been given by Answers in Genesis speakers. And you can find those details on the front page of the Answers in Genesis website. You need to go up to the top right-hand corner, change the word United States to United Kingdom with the little drop-down arrow, and you'll find the links then for the podcasts so that you can download them with your podcasting software, iTunes, anything of that sort. And you can get them on your computer, you can get them onto your iPod, you can get them onto your MP3 player, and you can listen to them. So please do join us again for the next episode, episode 6 of the Answers UK Radio. In the meanwhile, God bless, goodbye.